Hello, and welcome to the Homeschooling and Loving It podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, your friend at homeschool.com and homeschool mom of six. Join us as we keep it real and chat about the ups and downs of this amazing adventure we call the homeschool life. So grab a cup of your warm favorite and a comfy chair and let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to homeschool.com's Homeschooling and Loving It podcast. We're thrilled to have you with us again for another episode, and we are hopeful and anticipating that you'll walk away today with encouragement and being uplifted in your homeschool journey. Today, we're talking about homeschooling, obviously, but the rights that we have as parents and how any parent can homeschool. And we have a special guest with us, Stephanie. She is here to join us today. Stephanie is special because she is a mom. She's an educational consultant and a homeschool coach. So she's your cheerleader in the corner. Stephanie worked in education, teaching, as well as an administrator for almost 20 years. And for the past 6 years, she's dedicated her time to the homeschooling sector and coaching families around the country. And you can find Stephanie at myhomeschoolexpert.com. So definitely pay her a visit there. Great to have you today, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Awesome. You know, we have so many homeschoolers today, and you know, it's obvious homeschooling is growing and there are so many questions that they have. I feel like today's topic really hits a lot of their questions, maybe even insecurities, you know? So first of all, let's dig into that idea of the rights that parents have as a homeschool teacher, parent. And I just want to throw out there, homeschooling is legal in all 50 states. We still get questions about that. You know, is homeschool legal here? You know, yes, in the United States of America, homeschooling is legal. And since homeschooling is a legal recognized form of education, the parent is considered a teacher of record. And so, Stephanie, I know this is your area of expertise as a homeschool coach. So let's hear your thoughts on this topic.
Okay, where to begin? I have so many things to say to parents.
For sure.
So I've been, like you said, I've been doing the coaching and consulting aspect of this, working with families in all 50 states for a number of years now. And just to start with the fact that it's like as soon as COVID happened, the number of homeschoolers rose by so much. But then, you know, there was a little bit of a dip when kids started, when schools were opening and kids were going back. But then the numbers kind of went back up, stayed steady, and now they're actually growing. So it just shows, you know, like the allure of homeschooling and the fact that this can be done and it is actually a viable option for families is just wonderful. If you look at articles coming out of any, you know, education magazines or websites over the past year, even, it shows the numbers growing in pretty much all 50 states. So that said, you know, how do you do it is the number one question I get. People reach out, be it like a quick question on social media or a quick phone call to me, just like, hey, can I do this in my state? Is this something I could do? And the answer is always yes. Yes, it's perfectly legal. And not only is it legal, but it's actually being made every year to be more in the parents' favor. Right. So if you look at the different states on a map, like you could find it online where it's color-coded and you see what states are easiest to homeschool in, moderate, and highly regulated. Even the highly regulated ones, it's still perfectly doable, but you know, that's why people reach out to me. It's a lot easier when doing it with somebody who knows the process and could just guide you along. But even the high regulation states are lessening and the moderate regulation states are lessening and it's becoming easier all over the country to be done in general.
Right. Yes, that is definitely something I've noticed as well. Growing up, my parents ended up homeschooling my little sister and we lived in Pennsylvania. And I'm sure if you know about all the regulations, Pennsylvania was kind of kind of tricky there for a while, but now it is lessening. I've heard several reports that that's the case. So definitely good news for homeschool families across the United States. I think another aspect of that is the fact that as homeschooling has grown, so have all of the really wonderful homeschool resources. You know, I think there are so many products out now, whereas, 10, 20 years ago, there was substantially less, which also makes it easier for homeschool parents, don't you agree?
Oh, for sure. It's wonderful to see. And it's kind of like a twofold thing here too. So there's so many online curriculums, online schools, online just resource pages, blogs, parent groups, all of these different things available that definitely were not available even 5 years ago. Things in your neighborhood, that pop up because there's like homeschool people in your own neighborhood that you didn't even realize there were so many people, So that's a great thing to have seen. And then, the other side of it is almost like it could even be information overload. And I've seen a lot of families reach out because like, hey, I have a second grader. For example, we're going to homeschool. There's so much online. Like, where do we start? And then narrowing that down to a curriculum that fits your family's needs and your child's learning style. And even people who don't use somebody like me, there's all these parent sites where parents even help each other and direct each other. Like, oh, I use this curriculum. It's fantastic. Have you seen this website? It's all free. So it's almost like, the coaches and the teacher, the parent teachers have like band together now to share all these resources.
Right, absolutely. And again, that's kind of what we do at homeschool.com. We really try to pull in with a lot of different events that we hold our parents and their experiences, because you can't beat that. I mean, if somebody's been homeschooling for 10, 15 years, they're an expert basically in that area. And, that's valuable for them to share their insight, to share what they have come across, as far as, like you said, all these resources that are out there, to let those that are coming behind them know these work really well, these are easy to use, etc. So, okay, so share with us what you would say if someone came in and said, okay, I want to homeschool, but all I have is a high school diploma. What would you say to them?
Then you're in luck. That's really all you need. It's changed all over the country to be something where if you're a parent and it's not just high school diploma, GEDs count in most states as
Yes.
well. And that's they're giving you the ability as a parent to know what's best for your child now. So a lot of the regulations that required parents to have something else in place aside from a high school diploma or GED have fallen away. Figuring that what's best and will provide the education is best for your child. So we would start with that and me just assuring them that they themselves are all they need to get this going. And then we would look at their state and see what the process is moving forward. But everything you need is kind of just sitting right there for you, ready to go.
Exactly. So they've watched that child grow since birth. They know. Oh, I love that. All right, so you brought up the state regulations, and I feel like that's another huge question that we're getting all the time. I'm sure you get too. So when you start talking about that, okay, your first hurdle, you've assured them that it doesn't matter. Their education level, as long as they meet the state standards. And how do you tell them, how do you direct them in fulfilling those state regulations?
So I'll start with the family. If they call me, I'll start with the family by going over their state and what they already know about the regulations. And some of them just are like, nothing, just please walk me through it, and then I'll do that. So you have the whole country pretty much falls into like thirds. You have the easy, the moderate, and the high regulation, as I said before. So some are as easy as submitting what's called a letter of intent. It's literally a letter of your intent to homeschool, which gets submitted to your district. Nothing ever gets submitted straight to the state. Everything is through a school district. So you would submit this letter to your district with whatever information your state or your district require. And then some, you know, easy to homeschool in states require nothing else. It's, you know, hi, I'm homeschooling my child so-and-so as of this date moving forward. And that's the end of, you know, of your paperwork. And then you get into the entire, you know, curriculum and what am I doing every day side of it, but that would be it. Then you have the moderate states where it's more of submitting that, getting approval. And then they would check out your references, the high school diploma, the GED, you might have to submit it. And then it may be something as simple as checking in mid-year and checking in at the end of the year or submitting some sort of assessment, which they give you the options for assessment at the end of the year. And that might be it. You may hear my dog barking in the background in a second. So then you have the high regulation states where you're submitting multiple documents to get started. What am I teaching all year? What am I using to do so? And then throughout the year, you'll have to submit different reports about how your child is doing. And then at the end of the year, you know, the assessment aspect of it.
Right, right. Which,
so that's a you know,
is, yeah, and that's pretty straightforward too, isn't it? I mean, most of the time there are like a handful of places where you can go. And I think even some I've noticed recently where you can do assessments at home. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah, that's actually what I direct parents towards for the most part. So your other option is to go into a school building or a location that you choose with the district. Which I mean, some people choose to do it, but honestly, not many with today's, you know, technology and option of doing this. So there's a number of different nationally accepted norm reference tests per grade that allow you to purchase it online, and they're not expensive. They're, you know, they're made to fit most families' budgets on purpose. They're anywhere between like say $15, $35, $45. And some even come with a practice test as well, which is fantastic. And then you would either choose a date where your child is taking it and they would take it on the computer with the proctor, or some of them even you just sign on and just take it at your leisure and submit it when you're finished. So two different options there for the online tests, and they're really great. I've never had a family say anything but positive things about these types of tests.
Yes, I agree. I know with my older kids, we did not have that option. Another one of the perks of homeschooling, growing and all the resources out there. And we had to take them for those tests to a facility. And, you know, as homeschool kids, they're just not used to going somewhere else and being with a bunch of other children. You know, that's kind of, I don't know, counterproductive. At least it was for my children. I noticed that they did not score as well as they do in their normal environment. So the fact that the children now can take these norm reference tests at home is amazing. I am so happy. Our youngest daughter just had to take like a, it's like the SAT, ACT, only it's called the CLT. And she did that at home recently. And it was like night and day. It was just wonderful. So definite improvement in that area. Yeah. I know a lot of times that testing can give anxiety. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I've noticed, especially with the younger kids, there is this other aspect where a lot of parents have taken their kids out of school. And then you have to see it from like a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old perspective, where you were taken out of, you know, school and put into homeschool, and you may be absolutely thriving. But then to go back to your old school at the end of the year or next year, and you see people that you know and teachers you recognize, and that's a big thing cognitively for a kid to handle in the first place, let alone to then be told to sit down and take a test. So I usually actually try to steer parents away from that option and you know, just go with the online test for that reason also.
Right, absolutely. I know it's so much easier on them. Okay, what about when the parent is trying to get started and they are trying to look through all of these options that are out there? I mean, how do they decide if they should do online school versus using a textbook or some other type of resource? How would you tell them what encouragement would you give them in navigating that?
Well, I think the biggest form of encouragement here, and this is 100% true, is that nothing with homeschooling is set in stone. So whether you're navigating all the different options on your own or with another family, like doing it together with some moms or doing it with somebody like me, if you choose something and it ends up not working, you choose something else, and you know, until you find a good fit. And I feel like that definitely takes a lot of pressure off of parents. You don't want to, you know, have your kid do a bunch of different things and have to get used to a bunch of different things. However, if, you know, if something's working or not working, just knowing you have the ability to adjust as you go based on the needs of your child is a huge relief. So I always recommend starting, if you're on your own, like parents would do this with me, but if you're doing it on your own, I would always recommend just going into it with the mind frame of having a mix of digital and print, because that's how people learn best in today's world. You don't want to only be on the computer. You don't want to only be in books. You want a nice even mix of both, and an amount of time in both that's going to be matched to, you know, the child's age level, grade level attention span. So starting where you're going into it, like, okay, let me Google or let me talk to some homeschooling moms in some of these groups about, just say your child is in grade, I don't know, 5. What are some great upper elementary digital curriculums, digital platforms that you guys have used, or like Googling the top 5? And if you're seeing the same ones over and over, and, you know, I generally just know what they are, and I know what families like at this point, and these moms will tell you. And then what you could do is a demo, and you could go on 2, 3, 4 websites and demo it with your child and see which one just tends to be more comfortable, and start that way.
Perfect. 100% agree. Demoing, getting a free trial, that is the best way to see if something's going to work for you. And then, like you said, if you do purchase something and it doesn't work, it's absolutely fine to change. I feel like a lot of people ask us questions about that. You know, well, can we even change this? I mean, it's horrible. We're every day is miserable. And I resoundingly love to tell them, yes, please change. It's better to change, even if you lose a little bit of money on that curriculum that you purchased initially. It's so much better to make the change than to be miserable. Yeah. So, oh, I love that. I appreciate you saying that. That idea of having that nice mix and the balance between digital and not digital resources is perfect. I found the same to be true with, I have 6 children. And so every one of them was a different type of learner. And each one of them required that a different balance. So that was also very tricky. And I'm sure that our moms, our listeners, our dads, they're probably thinking the same thing. Oh, I have all these kids, or I have 2 kids, and they're extremely different. And yeah, that's the wonderful part of homeschooling, isn't it? That you can create this unique custom fit program for one child and then turn around and create another custom fit program for another child and meet their exact needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, you know, I think it's also comforting for parents to know, you know, somebody like you or I could tell them, and, you know, and other parents could tell them, but they'll see for themselves. It's rough going in the beginning for everybody. Yeah. And especially when you have multiple children. But once you, you know, you get through that period of getting things set, like into a routine in your household, and then from there on, it's, I mean, you know, it becomes like second nature to people.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, isn't that true with any good thing that we start fresh or new, you know, anything? It's going to be hard at first. And then we find that rhythm and that habit, and we find our comfort zone, so to speak, in it. And it becomes something absolutely wonderful. In fact, I wouldn't change it. 6 kids later, I wouldn't change it.
I mean, if you wouldn't change it after doing it with 6, that should be all anybody needs.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Okay. So we had initially mentioned our rights as homeschool parents. Do you want to speak to that maybe a little bit more, and what you mean by that?
Yes. So there was something I had in my head too that I did want to for sure mention around that topic. I get this question a lot too. I'll get a call like now, you know, October has already started, or late November or February. I don't know if all parents realize that it does not matter what date it is, what month it is. You can pull your child out of school and opt into homeschooling whenever you want. And you'll notice, and you know, I'm sure parents have seen this on district websites and state websites, there's wording and there are dates that look very, mandatory. But if you look at the language a little bit closer, it'll say like any homeschooling applications or letter of intent need to be submitted by August 31st for this school year. And then it'll say, or within 5 days of beginning homeschool or something like that. So it's made, I think, to make it seem like it needs to be done by a certain date. And I understand why school systems do this. They need to have their rosters and their budget and all of that. But the truth is that those dates are nothing but hopeful guidelines and nothing. You're not bound legally to any date on the calendar year. You can homeschool at any point that you feel necessary for your family.
Right. Absolutely. I know a lot of parents have been very intimidated, just by those dates that you mentioned. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. The language around the dates and, what's necessary is I think made to seem a little bit more intimidating than it actually is when it comes to your rights as the parent. Like I've had people call me in March and, can you give me some information? We want to homeschool next year. We're unhappy. And I was like, why are you going to wait? You can do it right now if you want. And I've had parents switch it at all points of the year. So it's definitely, it's a doable thing no matter where you're at.
Exactly. Great. Great info. All right. Well, we do need to kind of wrap it up. Do you have any final words of encouragement or anything else that you had on your heart to say to our listeners today?
Yes, I would just love to end by telling anybody who's thinking about taking this dive to just research it, call and talk to somebody like me, talk to other moms doing it, because I very, very rarely out of 100 people that I talk to and help into the homeschooling world, maybe one or two get out of it and go back into school for like a specific reason. Practically everybody that starts this stays in it. You get your bearings and then you realize, what a blessing it is to, have your kid with you and, be doing what you want and the flexibility of it and all of that. So, I mean, it's such a rare thing that people go the other way. It's usually like once they start, they fall into a rhythm, they love it and they continue.
Exactly. I can 100% agree with that statement from all of our surveys and conversations at homeschool.com. The same. That's what parents have said over and over again. I would say if I was really nailed down and had to make an estimate, I would say it's like under 5% of the parents that have ever responded to our surveys that have quit and actually just horrible time homeschooling and went back to public school. But there was probably in most of those that come to mind an extenuating circumstance. There was Well, thank you so much for joining us, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
Well, and thank you to our listeners for joining us as well. And we hope you were able to gain some insight, some encouragement for your homeschool journey. And until next time, here's to homeschooling and loving it.